wondering if you have ever heard the phrase banned in Boston. Okay, great. Preaching to the choir here. I recently learned about this the history of the phrase, and for those who don't know or those who want a refresher, it goes back to the Puritans of the early 1600s. We know that the Puritans had very strict ideas about morality and propriety. The banning of literature and other media as such, like plays or the theater in Boston, began in 1651. Now, book banning is not a new venture. While there has always been some level of restrictions, we have seen a significant increase lately. Yesterday just wrapped up Banned Book Week. This year it went from October 1st to the 7th. Banned Book Week celebrates the freedom to read and spotlights current and historical attempts to censor books in libraries and schools. For more than 40 years, the annual event has brought together librarians and teachers, booksellers, publishers, writers, journalists, and readers, and maybe a couple of ministers as well, of all types, to share in the support of freedom to seek and express ideas. Even those that we consider to be unorthodox or unpopular. The books featured during Banned Book Week have all been targeted for removal or restriction in libraries and schools. By focusing on efforts across the country to remove or restrict access to books, Banned Book Week draws national attention to the harm of censorship. In 2022, the American Library Association tracked the highest number of attempted book bans since the ALA began compiling data about censorship in libraries more than 20 years ago. 2,571 unique titles were challenged. So they weren't banned, but they were challenged. 2,571 just last year. And that is up from 1,858 in 2021. What's even more striking is the types of books that are being challenged. By a large margin, the books being banned tell stories of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning, and the like people, and they tell the stories of Black people and the sustained struggle against systemic racism in this country. Maine author Stephen King, in response to his novel Christine being banned, wrote, "Censorship is the suppression of reading materials are really about family values and almost always aren't really about family values, but almost always about control. About who is snapping the whip, who is saying no, and who is saying go. Censorship's bottom line is this. If the novel Christine offends me, I don't want to just make it, just make sure that my kid can't read it. I want to keep every kid from reading it. This bit of intellectual arrogance, undemocratic, and as old as time, is best expressed in this way," King says. "If it's bad for me and my family, it's bad for everyone's family." Many of us think of challenges to books in schools coming from reactive parents or who were simply concerned after thumbing through a paperback in their child's knapsack or hearing a surprising question about a novel raised by their child at the dinner table. However, the large majority of book bans underway today are not spontaneous, organic expressions of citizen concern. Rather, they reflect the work of a growing number of advocacy organizations that have made censorship of certain books and ideas in schools part of their mission. PEN America is the national not-for-profit that works to ensure that people everywhere have access to views, ideas, and literature. They have identified at least 50 groups involved in pushing for book bans at the national, state, or local levels. This includes 8 groups that have among them at least 300 local or regional chapters. These groups share lists of books to challenge, and they employ tactics such as swarming school board meetings, demanding newfangled rating systems for libraries, using inflammatory language about grooming and pornography, and even filing criminal complaints against school officials, teachers, and librarians. These varied groups do not all share identical aims, but they have found common cause in advocating an effort to control and limit what kinds of books are available in schools. Now, the unprecedented flood of book bans in the 22-23 school year reflects an increasing organization of groups involved in advocating for such bans, the increased involvement of state officials in book banning debates, and the introduction of new laws and policies. Jonathan Friedman and Nadine Farid Johnson, in their article Banned in the USA, The Growing Movement to Censor Books in School, state, the resulting harm of book banning is widespread, affecting pedagogy and intellectual freedom and placing limits on the professional's autonomy of school librarian and teachers. The repercussions extend further, however, to the well-being of the students affected by these bans. Children deserve to observe themselves in books, and they deserve to have access to diversity of stories and perspectives that help them understand and navigate the world around them. Public schools that ban books reflecting diverse identities risk creating an environment in which students feel excluded, with potentially profound effects on how students learn and become informed citizens in a pluralistic and diverse society. Gender Queer, a memoir by Maya Kobe, tops the American Library Association's 2022 list of books that were challenged in school districts throughout the nation. Gender Queer, a memoir, is a graphic novel published in 2019 that tells the author's personal journey from childhood to adulthood through gender dysphoria and adolescent crushes and personal development. Now, in preparation for this sermon, I did some poking around on the interwebs to see what's been happening here in your community. And I have to say, I'm actually quite pleased with y'all. Like, serious, thumbs up on this one. I learned that in 2022, the Waltham Public Schools voted to keep two LGBTQ+ themed books on the high school library shelves after books were challenged by a Waltham resident containing explicit content. The debate about the books led to a packed house during the school board meeting that saw parents, school staff, and students, I love this, students speaking up to support these books. The two books in question, the aforementioned Gender Queer, a memoir, which you'll hear that a lot, and another one called This Book is Gay by Juno Davidson, also on the American Library Association's 2022 list. And the school board unanimously voted to keep them on the shelves. Now, I also found this really sweet little article. Well, maybe sweet isn't the right word for it, but I loved it. About the same time, Crystal, I think it's Petrie, and Katie Cohen from Waltham experienced repeated thefts of their little free library. That's one of those community bookshelves that kind of sprouts up in yards, encouraging passerbys to take a book or leave a book. They nicknamed their little free library the Little Queer Library because they offered mostly their offering were mostly featuring LGBTQ+ characters and themes. On a number of occasions, an older white person intentionally removed stacks of books from their little free library. In response, they informed the public that people were donating those copies of those libraries so that anyone could just keep stealing them because they were going to keep refilling them. And finally, I was delighted to read that several Massachusetts state senators, including Hampton, Hampshire, and Worcester state representative Jake, is it Oliveria, I believe, proposed legislation this summer that would prevent libraries from restricting certain materials. He says, what our bill does is it actually asks library trustees, and what our bill does is it actually asks library trustees, and there's a funding piece trying to help it state with state money that says that you need to adopt the American Library Association's standards or their Bill of Rights within your local community in order to receive state funding, he says. Some might say, so what? Doesn't matter, we're fine in our town. Who cares if a book gets pulled from a school library shelf? Or doesn't matter if a class reading list gets changed because a small group pressures the school board? Or doesn't matter if a transgender child's a book about a transgender child gets banned? Or maybe books challenging church orthodoxy is burned along with its author? Yeah. One of the fundamental stories of Unitarianism has to do with book banning. In Geneva, Switzerland, in 1553, at the time when John Calvin and his followers controlled the churches, a Spaniard by the name of Miguel de Cervantes, or Michael Cervantes, published books that horrified both Roman Catholics and Protestants. I think he did well if he horrified both the Roman Catholics and the Protestants. In On the Error of the Trinity and the Restoration of Christianity, Servetus wrote in detail on how accepted church doctrines were not biblical. He was arrested for heresy, tried, and sentenced to death. Servetus was literally burned at the stake with a copy of the Restoration of Christianity tied to his waist. And as many copies as could be found of his books were stacked in among the logs on the fire. Only three copies of his book survived unburned. So theologically, we come from people who died for their beliefs, who died to publish their truth. The bottom line here is that book challenges and banning impede free expressions of rights, which must be the bedrock of public schools in an open, inclusive, and democratic society. These bans pose a dangerous precedence to those in and out of schools, intersecting with other movements to block and curtail the advance of civil rights for historically marginalized people. I downloaded a handout from the Office for Intellectual Freedom at the American Library Association. On one side, it has some facts and some figures about censorship, and on the other side is a list of the 2022 most challenged books. Now, I strongly encourage you to investigate it. I believe we're going to put some copies of that handout in the, do you call it social hall or parish hall? In the hall where coffee hour is. And I really, really encourage you to take a look at that, investigate those books, to read them, to discuss them, suggest them for your book group, or ask a few friends if they want to read them with you, or join an online discussion forums. There are countless ways for you to engage with them. Now, you may find, after reading these books, that you don't like a few. You may even find yourself shocked by some of them. And all of that is okay. Allow yourself to grapple with the content, the presentation, the style, because that's what we do as Unitarian Universalists. We engage in a free and responsible search for truth. I don't want to come off as alarmist, but against the backdrop of other efforts to roll back civil liberties and erode democratic norms, the dynamics surrounding school book bans are the canary in the coal mine in the future of American democracy, public education, and freedom of expression. We should heed that bird's warning. Blessed be, and amen.